Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, sorry about that. Thank you, Sterling, very much. We were just having a conversation with one of our YouTubers. Actually, Mr. and Mrs. San Jose Jazz fan just pulled up to Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. They said they're looking at a couple of things for their kitchen. Going to grab some great food, great vibes, great times here. And, of course, we are live until 3 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings and Mark Graney. That was pretty cool, man. It's nice to put a face with some an appreciated member of the chat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, San Jose Jazz fans in there every day.
Yes,
good to
is.
See him, you know, Monday through Friday, but also weekends during Warriors This Week or on special events like this or Warriors pre and post. So, yeah, stop by. If you are a loyal listener, if you want to say hello, what's up, we will chat it up with you. We'll take a picture during the commercial breaks. You can walk up to us during the show, try to distract us. You can test our professionalism if you want. We will stay locked in. Don't worry, but you can come up to us right when you walk in the door here at Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Walk in the door, right on the right. You can't miss us. A big 95.7 The Game logo. We've got our laptops. You got a camera up. You can't miss us. So stop by, say what's up. Enjoy all the food, the great deals on all your appliances. A great, great event all weekend long here in Pleasant Hill.
Yeah, you don't even have to buy us beers. You can just bring them to us, and I'd be happy to, appreciate a nice pop right here. And, of course, during the commercial breaks, when we're on air, we're not going to do that kind of stuff. I do have my root beer. Mark, you got into, what was it, this pasta that Justin brought over?
Ravioli. Mm-hmm. It was delicious. It was great.
Fantastic, fantastic. And shout out to everyone in the YouTube chat, by the way, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I see you, my fams, at Copest Control. Mickey D's been there early and often throughout the day. Shout out to all, also, by the way, shout out to Dan Devone and Sterling Bennett holding it down from 9 to noon. We are holding it down until 3 o'clock here at Friedman's Appliance. Evan Giddings and Mark Grandy. A couple of interesting texts, Mark, from the Comcast Business text line. We're discussing kind of where the Warriors are at. Like, are they beholden to the past? Should they lean in on the future? Because right now the present is looking a little bleak. A game and a half back of ninth place in the Western Conference. They pretty much appear to be destined for a play-in game. The question is where and when. Are they going to have to play two road elimination games? Are they going to have to play at home and then win an elimination game? It appears that that's going to be the path for them, however you slice it, to get into the first round of the playoffs, in which you might just be facing the Denver Nuggets, and you're pretty much going to have a gentleman sweep coming your way anyway. So how do the Warriors approach this right now? Some people are optimistic about the five-game road trip from the 4-3-0. Road Warriors have been much more consistent than the home version. 2-1 road trip coming up. I hate to break it to you. They got five games. So I hope they start 2-1, Mark, because that means they would beat two of the three between Minnesota, Orlando, and Miami.
If they start 2-1, they very well could have a 4-1 road trip, and that would be awesome. You've got Minnesota, Miami, Orlando, and then Charlotte and San Antonio. You feel like you got to win those two against Charlotte and San Antonio. Anything other than a sweep in those first three, other than losing all three, is fine. You go 1-2 in those first two, and then you win the final two, you'll be fine. But Minnesota, Miami, Orlando, and then you pair that with the fact that the Houston Rockets have the Jazz and the Trailblazers at home. They've already won seven in a row. There is a legitimate possibility that the Warriors lose a couple of games to begin the road trip. The Rockets win those next two, and you're looking at a deadlock tie in the standings for the 10th spot. So important. And if it is a 2-1 in the first three of this road trip, that would be a major win for the Warriors.
888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get out to Brent Wood and Clarence, who's been hanging on patiently. Clarence, my man, what's going on? You're on with Mark Grandy and Evan Gidding, live from Friedman's Appliance. How are you?
All right, doing pretty good. Just DoorDash out here in Brentwood.
DoorDash, I see you.
I was listening to you guys. I retired from the post office after 44 and a half years back on September 22nd. So I'm like, I got a lot of time now on my hands. I can use a little supplement to my retirement check, though. But I'm just calling just because I heard you guys talking about this season might be, may not even make the playoffs. We might as well start trying to focus on next season, trading this guy, keeping this team, keeping this guy, keeping this player, and trying to get better, for next season. But I want to just encourage the fan base right now that it ain't over. This season ain't over yet. The chances of getting in the playoffs is way far from over. And they giving up, so we just got to take one game at a time and see how to adjust against the teams they're playing from the way they played the previous game. Now we need to see make the adjustments for this road trip here and try to do the best out of the road trip. We just need to just kind of be patient.
I got you.
We got to believe. I believe we got talent enough players.
Thanks. Sorry, Clarence. You can kind of cut it out there. I think we got the gist of it, though. No, you're right. You're absolutely spot on. The Warriors, in my opinion, have been kind of relegated to the place, Mark, where all they can do is approach it one game at a time because the playoffs is not really projectable, and you don't have a first-round pick, so a falling out of the 10th spot and getting maybe closer to a better pick doesn't really matter either.
It doesn't benefit you.
Yeah,
it does not benefit you. I wish I had Clarence's confidence, though. I mean, he started off the call saying, it's not over. It's far from over. They still can make some noise.
I would love to be served by Clarence. He pulls up to your house, his DoorDash, and dropping a couple of these beautiful homemade warm cookies on your doorstep, and then providing you with some positivity. That's what Clarence is
doing.
That's
what we all need in the world today. But I mean, I don't see it. I mean, what have the Warriors done this year that convinces you that they can put it together over a long stretch? Can they beat the Nuggets once in a series? Sure. And they beat the Bucks. They dominated the Bucks.
They beat the Nuggets in 2 years.
I know, but I'm just saying, they still have the ability every once in a while to play a hell of a basketball game. And they've done it at times this year. And they did have a pretty good stretch for 6 weeks, end of January and in February. During that stretch, they were the best team in the NBA. The issue is the rest of the season, they've been subpar, below 500. Do they have the ability on any given night to beat anybody? Sure, but they do not show it consistently enough. And on the other side, they also have the ability on any given night to lose to anybody. So, Clarence, I love your positivity, but I would just ask Clarence, ask you, ask all of our listeners, ask everyone stopping by Friedman's here. I would just ask, what have they done to make you confident that they can do that consistently moving forward?
They haven't.
Exactly.
They are the definition of an average team. An average team shows up on some nights, can beat you some nights, and can also lose to a team that's down three starters or a team like the Memphis Hustle that in Memphis beats you by basically raining threes and praying and spraying.
G.G. Jackson.
And G.G. Jackson, who, by the way, had 35 points in that game on Wednesday. But, yes, those are the kinds of games that, if you had to rank the losses this season, the fact is you'd have a lot of choices. I don't know. It could be the Denver game, which they blew a 16-point lead with 6.5 minutes left. I think for me, the game that stands out is the Miami game at home after the Denver game, in which you look like you're playing pretty well. I mean, just take your pick.
Raptors post-trade deadline when they had already moved off of Ananobi and Siakam, where they beat you by 40 at Chase Center.
Or the game after against the Pelicans, literally right after, in which they got booed in back-to-back home games. That might have been worse. I don't know.
Losing to the Spurs at home when they didn't have Wembanyama. I know Steph was not playing in that game as well. You follow up the Bucks win, maybe the best win of the year, by losing to the Chicago Bulls at home. The Bulls, not a bad team by any stretch, but certainly one that was a letdown. You're right. There's like 12 different games we can point to that are arguably the worst loss of the year.
And it makes you look at games like an 18-point blown second-half lead to the Clippers. Thank you very much. And it makes you look at that type of game where that's not even in your on your radar. And that was a game in which they didn't lead, the Clippers did, until Paul George's three-point shot at the very end of that game. It also makes you not really think about a 22-point second-half blown lead to the Sacramento Kings,
so
in which
many.
Draymond Green picked up a tee and swung the momentum of that game. There's all these games that you could look at and say, well, what if this, they should be this, they should be that. At the end of the day, they are who their record says they are, which is a 10 seed in a Western Conference that is trying to figure out not where the Warriors fit, but where the top four are going to go, because the Warriors are going to be beholden to whoever is at the top. If they manage to find their way into the playoffs, it could be Denver, it could be OKC, it could be Minnesota. Either way, we're not at the point now. It looked like a couple weeks ago we were deciding, okay, this road trip was going to be a matchup against playoff opponents. How do the Warriors kind of measure up against first Minnesota on the road and then Miami, maybe Orlando? Now we're just at the point where, well, can they grab a couple wins?
Please.
I mean, my
Lord. You've got to win a couple of these games. The Rockets' schedule does toughen out a little bit after these next two at home when they got the Jazz and the Blazers. They got Dallas coming up. They've got some – they got OKC shortly after these two winnable games at home for Houston as well. But it is wild how quickly things change. Because if you just rewind, Evan, to 2 weeks ago, when the Warriors, they had just come off of that road trip where it ended with that blowout loss in Boston.
Oh, but you it was figured, like a lifetime ago.
You figure that, all right, it's okay. You had already beaten the Knicks. You'd beaten the Raptors. You had beaten the Wizards. 3-1 a road trip where you figured if you just go 2-2, you're all right. You go 3-1, it's a major win. You come home, you dominate the Bucks. Giannis was in, Dame was in. It was a relatively healthy Bucks team. Chris Middleton was out. He's been out for a while, but relatively healthy Bucks
God,
team.
That was a great game.
I mean, incredible. Chase Center was as loud as I've heard it, maybe in its existence, other than that postseason run a couple of years ago. It was an incredible night, and then you follow it up with the loss to the Bulls, and then Steph gets hurt and misses a handful of games, and then Draymond Green's back acts up. He misses the game in Dallas. You lose to the Spurs at home. Then you have to fight tooth and nail to win against the Spurs in San Antonio. You put up a great effort led by your young guys in Dallas, but you lose. Steph comes back and you get a nice win in LA in a game where Anthony Davis, though, misses the whole second half. And you feel like, all right, maybe they're putting it together once again. And then you return home and it's a 1-2 homestand in games where you felt like you could have won all three, potentially. Or if you had any desire to win a postseason series, you should win all three, but you don't. So it's just been such an up-and-down season, and I'm with you. The inconsistencies overall, it has sapped me of all my optimism about this team doing anything this year aside from maybe getting out of the play-in. I could see them doing that, but you match up with the young athletes of Minnesota, you match up with the young athletes of Oklahoma City, you match up with the proven guile of the Denver Nuggets, I don't see the Warriors being able to compete with those three right now. So at best, this is a first-round exit team. At worst, not even a team that's going to be in the play-in.
I mean, yeah, they've been relegated back to We Believe. Like, they're trying to figure out how they could be an 8 seed that could upset a 1, and that season was so great because of the preceding failures of
exactly.
That ownership of the franchise in general, what the 10-plus seasons of not making the playoffs. They had, like, 3 or 4 years in a row, which they didn't win more than 20 games, I think it was, at the turn of the century. I mean, that was a different place for Warriors basketball. And, yes, it means we're spoiled. And, yes, it means that they've experienced the highest of highs and a dynasty and all the rest. But, unfortunately, that's the standard now. That's the standard for a lot of people, not just fans, but I would say members of that organization. Curry's not okay with just being a mediocre team and a mediocre franchise for the remainder of his basketball years. I don't think Joe Lacob is looking at the remainder of Curry's time in the NBA, as well as the remainder of his ownership, which I'm sure he wants to be for a very long time, as a place where he wants to just be one of those teams or one of the guys or essentially just a jag, because what we've seen the last now two seasons is a place you cannot be, which is borderline irrelevant. Like, the reason why last Saturday to me was highlighted by ESPN is because you have two players that are entering the white dwarf stages of their careers, which is LeBron James and Steph Curry. They're still very good. I mean, LeBron had 49-8. Curry was shooting the hell out of the basketball that game, and the Warriors found a way to win. But that is kind of in a micro sense, you know, you look at those two titans, and that's what the league is clinging on to, and it feels like we are clinging on to that, I don't know, former age of Warriors basketball. And that's why, again, off the top of the show, I kind of hope that we can look at this season like a transition, not from Curry to something else, but from what the championship team was and that look and mold and core of the Warriors was in 2022 to whatever the hopeful next championship version of the Warriors can be. This, to me, needs to be a transitionary season in which we look at, even if they get into the playoffs, if you don't think that this team can win a championship, then what are we hanging on to at this point outside of the biggest pieces, which we have identified as Steph Curry, Draymond Green, as well as Jonathan Kuminga? If there's no way to upgrade, well, then they need to get better internally. Can they add a piece on the outside? And to me, where I found this particular week in which they lost to the Knicks and the Pacers and then beat a G League Memphis team, what stood out to me more so than anything else, Mark, was that their starters are not good enough. Against the Knicks, they were minus 20 as a starting five. Indiana played them off the floor. Their bench has not been an issue this year, but that's kind of been the problem. The second unit some nights is better than the first unit, and that happens far too often for me.
Yeah, it does. And if you're looking at this year, to use your phrase, like a transitionary period, a transitionary season, I would argue the evidence is there that this is, or at least the Warriors have learned enough about themselves to use this as a transitionary year. If you rewind to the beginning of the season, you go back to October and forget everything you've learned about this team, you know, from that point to now. If you go back, clean slate, begin the season, you think, all right, you know, you don't really know what Jonathan Kuminga could potentially be, and we still don't know what his ceiling is. But before this season, he didn't really there was a decent run at the end of last regular season when Draymond was out, or when Wiggins was out, excuse me, for personal reasons, and Kuminga had to, you know, step up and do a little bit more. But then what happened when the postseason came around, right? He got a couple opportunities to play, but then got benched because it was not working out.
Yeah.
So think back to what you knew about Jonathan Kuminga preseason. You weren't really sure. You obviously did not know much about Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis. You knew they were rookies. You knew Pajemski came out of Santa Clara, local guy, although not from around here, just attended Santa Clara for 1 year. You know Trayce Jackson-Davis, a four-year college player from Indiana, coached by former NBA head coach Mike Woodson. You felt, you know, decent about the draft, but as always, it's kind of a crapshoot, and you don't know what you're going to get. My point is, you began this season, obviously with high expectations. Your expectations to begin the year were not of fighting for the 10th seed. That would be a major disappointment. But if you are looking at it from the perspective of, let's find out who our young guys are, in that regard, Evan, at least in my opinion, this season has been a success for that reason. Because you know Jonathan Kuminga, at the very worst, can be, you know, a positive starter on a team that can win. I mean, we've seen it for a decent stretch. Now, there has to be better pieces around it, and it all has to fit better, but you learned a lot, positive things about Kuminga this year. Same thing for Brandon Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis, specifically for Pajemski and more lately for Trayce Jackson-Davis. So in that sense, at the very least, this season, if you are going to use it as a transitionary period and use it as a springboard into the future, at least you now have a whole lot of data and information and legitimate, I don't know, belief in a group of young guys at who they really are, because you had no clue who they were to begin this season. And Steve Kerr, a couple of weeks ago on this very station, said we didn't expect any sort of contribution from both Trayce Jackson-Davis and Pajemski this year. We expected nothing from them. That's what you get from rookies usually, especially when you have a team that is led by a veteran group of future Hall of Famers. You just don't get many minutes for those guys. So at the very least, Evan, if I'm trying to see it glass half full, I can point towards the information we gained about that young group as a positive, because it at least gives the Warriors an ability to assess what they have in the future much more than they knew before this season began.
There's still not enough information for me about the young guys but there's enough information for me about most of the veterans. And I think that's what's more important for me, that I know what I'm largely going to get or not get on a given night from everyone not named Steph, and even quietly sometimes from Curry, who, if you look at the comparison between February and March, like, if there's one thing that I feel confident is that this team still does go as Steph goes. And he's been up and he's been down. In the month of February, played 14 games, scoring 27.7 points, shot 46% from the floor, 42 from deep. They went 11-3 in the month that he played. This month in March, he's played 8 games. They're 500. Why? Because Curry's averaging 21 points on 41%, shooting 35 from three-point range. They're still very much hitched to his wagon. And while I don't think that someone like Kuminga or Pajemski or TJD, who I have some thoughts that I want to share on the other side of this commercial break in a few minutes, I don't know if those are players that you can hitch your wagon to and assume that you're even going to be where you are now, which is a few games above 500. They have needed Curry to be great just to get to this point, but I do think that the surrounding cast, and I'm including Draymond in this also, because to me, whether it's his actions and suspensions or some of his inconsistent play, which we saw largely, I think, against someone like New York, in which he got outplayed, in my opinion, by Isaiah Hartenstein, like him, Wiggins, Clay, Clay's lesser now that he's off the bench, as well as Chris Paul, those guys, to me, I have enough information to determine what I want to do with them, and I will reveal that on the other side. But we are live here at Freedman's Appliance. I think I see Matt Steinmetz pulling up, and Dana Ali. Oh, hell yeah. We got a party for the last half of the show. Again, we're going until 3 o'clock, 888-957-9570. We got people stopping by with their lovely pale ales. I think our guy's going to bring us an IPA during the break. Don't worry, we won't take it until after the show. Maybe so, maybe not.
You know what I just noticed? Huh? I just there we got a chicken on a rotisserie cooking over there.
Is that a chicken or a pig?
That's definitely a chicken.
Yeah, it's a chicken.
Dude, it smells so delicious in here. My goodness.
I mean, everything about this place, it's funny. Like, so in the back, they got, you know, setups for dessert, basically. Mm-hmm. Dessert setups in your kitchen, whether you're a baker, whether you're kind of oven-based. I guess if you're going to have a roasting chicken on a spit, you can set that up. And, well, everyone at Freedman's Appliance is seeing how a specific appliance will work in their kitchen or in their laundry room. Even the outdoor grill that they got, serving out steak tortillas, tacos, quesadillas, birria. They got a lot of great stuff here. They got bacon wrapped in ham on the outside, uh-huh. So I know we do have a pig in the house. Everything about this place smells delicious. It is largely nutritious, but more importantly, it is a great place to be the entire weekend, a once-yearly red tag clearance sale right here at Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Please get out here. Everyone that's on our YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, we appreciate you chiming in. If you can get down here, please do. We've already said hello to San Jose Jazz fan and his missus. They were very kind. Mark Grandy, Evan Giddings. Coming up next, though, I do want to dig into a specific question, and if you have thoughts on this, I do want to hear from you. What is optimal for Stephen Curry, and what is optimal for the Golden State Warriors? Are those two questions still in alliance, or are they further away from each other than they've ever been before? 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings and Mark Grandy with you. We'll be back after this live from Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Neil, on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Halfway home here on a gorgeous Saturday at Friedman's Appliance, 95.7 The Game out here. Mark Grandy alongside Evan Giddings, Justin Beltre's in the house. Matt Steinmetz is in the house somewhere. I'm sure he's trying to hunt down a particular appliance for his beautiful Oakland home.
Or
you can
just
do
hunting
so.
Down a beer.
Well, yeah. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's what we're going to be doing after the show at about 3:02 as soon as we get off the air here. But until then, we are taking your calls at 888-957-9570. Mark Grandy picked up a quiche?
It's like a pizza bite.
Oh, it's a pizza bite.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, a little piece of bread with some cheese and then a little pepperoni on top.
Gotcha. Well, this particular station we have been blessed to be next to has been pumping out French toast casserole. They've been, there was like an Italian, the ravioli also, and then now apparently pizza bites. We got homemade cookies, we got some nachos, we got some legumes, and we also got, I think Justin is trying to get us, some brisket that's outside. Ooh. We had some tacos earlier. They even got me eating portobello mushrooms, Mark, and I hate mushrooms, but today.
I mean, I'm convinced that with a Friedman's Appliance, you can make anything taste good, because everything that we have tasted today, it has been incredible.
I might be taking that chicken on a spit over there home. By the end of this thing,
there's a number of people eyeing it over there. We got to sneak in and grab it.
Yeah, I wonder how much it costs, not for the actual the oven roaster itself, but
just the chicken.
Just the chicken. No, this is a fantastic place to see where everything fits in your home, and you can check it out along with, I mean, there's 38 different people here helping. Someone might hop on to kind of give you a little more of a synopsis, a more detailed synopsis in a little bit. We also got our mystery guest, who's a spokesperson for Friedman's Appliance, coming up at 2 o'clock, so stick around here. Keep it locked and loaded on 95.7 The Game from 12 to 3. Mark Grandy, Evan Giddings. But the question that we posed right before the break, Mark, and if you want to answer it, 888-957-9570 is the number. The idea of what is optimal for Stephen Curry versus what is optimal for the Golden State Warriors. Because for 15 years, the two have pretty much been intertwined. Like, he's the franchise. He's the greatest player to ever don a Warriors jersey. He's perhaps the greatest point guard ever. However you slice it, he is an all-timer. So everything that's been optimal for him has always been optimal for the Warriors. But I think what we've begun to not get to wholly, but the question that keeps kind of popping into my mind is, are those two things still intertwined? And I'll throw that to you first before I answer.
They're still intertwined, but is what's best for Steph the best thing for the Warriors anymore? I don't think so. Excuse me, because Stephen Curry only has, at the very most, you would think three really good years left? Like,
You'd hope.
I mean, three really good years left would still be pretty darn impressive. The dude's 36 years old right now, just turned 36, 9 days ago now, last week. So that is impressive by itself. But if you are Steph Curry and you are confident that you are approaching the tail end of your career, as he is, and maybe he plays till he's 42, that's still the tail end of his career.
True.
If that is true, which I think 99.9% of us can all agree on, and I'm sure Steph feels that way as well, he wants to put all eggs in his basket, push everything you got, every asset that you have, try to get me one more chip. Give me number 5. Because 5 is a really important number when it comes to winning NBA championships. His biggest rival currently, LeBron James, how many does he have right now? 4. Steph has 4. Getting the 5th.
3.5.
Yeah, accurate.
Shout out the bubble.
Bubble championship. Getting the 5th is extremely valuable for Stephen Curry, and it has as he tries to be selfish, because he's earned that right. So if you're Stephen Curry and what you are asking the Warriors to do as Steiny walks by, probably listening to this conversation about
meandering
Steph.
Around
with a beer in his hand. There you go, Steiny.
Surprised he's not double fisting at this point. It is, by the way, afternoon.
It is.
Officially.
But if you are Steph, you want the Warriors to do everything in their power to try to get you a 5th championship. And if you are the Golden State Warriors, you got to ask yourself, all right, what can we do to do that? Well, that means getting rid of all your young talent because you're not convinced yet that Jonathan Kuminga and company are going to be legitimate number two, number three, number four pieces on a championship team. So that means getting rid of your relatively promising future. We don't know exactly what it means for a lottery ticket, for a chance to try to win one more championship next year, 2 years from now, God forbid 3 years from now, whatever the situation is. And I don't think the Warriors are comfortable doing that because it is, even if you do that, even if you move off of every valuable young piece that you have, you trade away as many picks as you possibly can, there is nowhere near a guarantee you're going to get the fifth. And I think the Warriors look at it as it's not quite worth that risk because we don't want to bottom out in the near future 4 or 5 years down the road when Stephen Curry is no longer playing or when he can no longer carry a franchise. So I think it's a really good question, and for the first time in a very long time, what Stephen Curry might deep down want and what the Warriors think is best for them going forward, I don't think they're in lockstep anymore.
They're certainly not in nearly as in lockstep as they've been for, I would say, 14 and maybe even 14-plus seasons, and this is year 15 for Steph. I still think what's optimal for the Warriors is optimal for Curry, but what is optimal for Curry is no longer optimal for the big three or the core four or however you slice it. And again, it's kind of the theme of today, looking ahead, how do you hitch your wagon? I do think you still need to hitch it to Steph as long as he's here, but you got to lose some of the baggage. Like he's got to lose some of the dead weight, figuratively speaking, that he's had to carry, in Steve Kerr's words, unfairly throughout the entirety of this season, and really throughout the entirety of his entire career in Golden State. The difference is he's no longer 25 years old and can do it consistently on a night in and night out basis. The fact that Curry has played as many games as he has this season is magnificent. I mean, he's played and started 63 games. That is more than anyone on the team. Kuminga and Clay have played more games, but they have not had more starts. Curry's still leading the team in terms of minutes. He is still the top scorer on this team. He is still one of, on a given night like Indiana, could be your best rebounder. He could lead you in assists. He has to do so much at an age in which typically players are winding down. And I know LeBron James is an absolute freak, but you even look at him and you look at their championship, which we kind of jokingly referenced. In my opinion, LeBron James, even 3 or 4 years ago, was not the best player in the finals on that Lakers team. That means that he had a running mate that he could rely on Anthony Davis to pick him up when he was not playing well. Steph is not afforded that luxury at this point, and that to me is because they have either so much money or so much invested monetarily or production and kind of the I guess alliance and sort of loyalty they have to the previous championship. That means the baggage needs to come off this offseason, not completely, but I think with what you talked about, how the transition has already begun for the Warriors to kind of get younger but also move the older players into their proper positions, now it's about this offseason to me removing the baggage from that equation, and that could be Andrew Wiggins. That could be someone like Klay Thompson if you can't find a right price. That could be Chris Paul. I think they need to strip down parts in order to figure out what the vision of this team is moving forward for next season, and that still does to me align with Curry, but it doesn't align to his running mates anymore.
So if you are Stephen Curry, pretend you're Steph for a minute, what are you asking Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy to do this offseason? Is it, all right, move off of Andrew Wiggins, don't re-sign Klay Thompson, you can't pick up Chris Paul's option because that's $30 million that would be better spent elsewhere. Don't pick up Kevon Looney's option. You pay him $3 million instead of the full $8 to get out of here, and you're not hooked with that full contract. Is it as simple as saying goodbye to all those guys? Is that what you think Steph Curry is asking this Warriors team to do this offseason?
I don't think Curry's asking them to do anything, but what I think that is going to happen is the Warriors will not be asking him as much what they should do. Now, he's still involved in every decision in my mind, and in order to, for example, not bring back Clay or trade Draymond, like one of the big three, you're probably going to need a green light from Curry to do that. But at the same time, the Warriors now, I feel like from a brass standpoint, have enough evidence to look him in the eye and say, Steph, I know you love this guy. I know you won a championship with him. Some of them you've won 4 championships. Some of them you've won 3 championships with. But we're not in the same place anymore. We can't compete at the level that you want to. with the guys that you feel loyal to anymore. And if you want to continue down that path to just run it back and try and hope that Andrew Wiggins is going to be a different player next year, that Chris Paul is still going to be at the same level at age 39 next season, that Klay Thompson is going to continue to shoot effectively off the bench, that Draymond Green can somehow muster 75 games of 25 minutes at the five consistently, if you believe that all of that can align and the stars can set up for, in my mind, what just looks like, you know, like a solar eclipse at this point, because it's taken a solar eclipse for us to get to the point where they could get to the second round last year. I think it's going to take a solar eclipse for them to get beyond the first round this year. If you think all of that can happen for us to get to a conference semifinals and maybe not be able to get out of there, then that's on you. But ownership in the front office, I think, made a tough choice this past offseason by moving off of a guy they just gave big money to in Jordan Poole. I don't think they're going to be afraid to move off of a piece or trade a piece that they just gave money to in the near past. And that, I don't know, they might be also setting themselves up for the future because there are a lot of tradable contracts right now. I think the biggest reason why they brought in Chris Paul, and they told us this, was financial flexibility. Like, they hoped that he could help the second unit and be a good player because he wins, but they weren't asking him to come in and play 35 minutes. They were asking him to come in and be an asset to them and help people in the meantime. So, you know, in a way, I feel like Dunleavy has set up this summer for tough decisions to be made, but also for the fan base to accept the tough decisions if they are made, because there's not a lot of evidence that if you remain doing what you're doing, in the words of Steph Curry, that the insanity is going to just be round and round and round again, doing the same things and expecting different results. It's now happened for a second consecutive season, and something's got to change.
Something's got to change. The question is what exactly? And you mentioned, obviously, a number of the veterans are the guys that are most likely to be moved on from this offseason. Klay Thompson maybe is the biggest decision because he is the one that is a free agent. Everybody else,
what do you think about that? What
is
do you think
still
about
under contract. I mean, I know this is something that Steiny's been on recently, and he's mulling around somewhere. Not sure exactly where he is. Don't have an eye on him right now. Probably getting into some trouble in the back somewhere. We'll keep an eye on him during the break.
I'm not babysitting him. I do it 5 days a week from 10 to 2. I'm not babysitting this guy anymore.
There he is. Just walked in the door.
Yeah.
But about Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
About Klay Thompson, I mean, he's been shooting the ball much better lately. I mean, last night wasn't great. Now, in the first half, he was on fire. 6 of 10 in the first half was Klay. Mm-hmm. 3 of 6 from downtown. He did finish 6 for 15, 3 of 10 from deep overall. But you look at his previous Klay Thompson's previous three games, though, shooting 50% from the field and 48% from downtown. Like, he has been shooting the ball much better lately. And I know last night wasn't great, but Klay Thompson off the bench seems to be settling into that role, which only makes this offseason's questions a little bit more murky, because I think one of the easier decisions, the easier way to save some money was, all right, like, Klay, bye-bye. But now Klay is playing really good basketball once again for the most part.
Well, we are here at Freedman's Appliance. We'll be doing our show for another hour and 15 minutes up until 3 o'clock, 95.7 The Game. Keep it locked here. Live vignettes, Freedman's Appliance, a great selection of food, great selection for your kitchen, for your home in general. And we are pleased to bring on actually the man who kind of put me on, like, so Steiny. We were talking on Friday just about how amazing Freedman's Appliance was and is.
Yes.
And I think you honestly undersold it. And you told me it was pretty great.
It's a great place, and today it's jumping, and there's food and drink, and the appliances are just amazing. No, the first time I came out here was about 5 years ago, and I was like, man, this place is unbelievable.
I've never been out here. This is incredible.
It is.
Dude,
it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Been munching since about 10:30.
Yes.
You missed the French toast, but you got here in time for lunch.
Where'd you get the cookies, by the way?
Someone brought them to us.
Our guy Aura. Yeah, our guy Aura pulled
them. Okay,
up.
I've met him.
All the sales.
And, of course, Dana has met him, my friend Dana. So, hey, Warriors.
Yeah, what'd you think of that game last night, Steiny?
Well, I didn't see it all, but I saw.
He was hot in the chat, I can tell
saw,
you.
I saw enough.
The vine was jumping.
I mean, they're kind of – writing's kind of on the wall, isn't it? They're going to have to do this as a – probably as a 10th seed if they're going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's
ninth
the reality.
Ninth at best if they can start playing better. But, man, ever since the Milwaukee game, they've just not been consistent at all. And from where they were at that time when they beat Milwaukee to now, it's pretty remarkable.
Well, I don't want to, you know, throw the hammer at you immediately, but the question we've kind of been on, and again, 888-957-9570 is the number, Comcast Business Text Line as well. Matt Steinmetz with us here at Freedman's Appliance, Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy. The question is, what is optimal for Stephen Curry? What is optimal for the Golden State Warriors? And are those two things still intertwined? Because for the longest, for about 15 years, it's one and the same. Whatever is best for Steph is best for the Warriors. Can you still say that what's optimal for Steph is optimal for the future of the franchise?
I mean, that kind of question, I would. I mean,
it's a tough one.
You got to see how the last 14 games go, even though it looks like they're trending in a certain direction that's going to be disappointing. So at that point, you have to figure out kind of how fast it is realistically to get back into the – I mean, if that's what happens, then what the league's saying is you're the 18th or 20th best team in the league. You're in the bottom half, really. So then I think all bets are off the table. I mean, all bets are on the table, and I think that's when you have a long, hard discussion with Steph and see where he's at. I think that's obviously what they have to do, don't you guys?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've kind of been tossing around the idea of, okay, so Steph is a loyal person, we know that, but with what's transpired the last two seasons, essentially, you know, either you were a top, you know, 12 team last year because you made the conference semis, or now you're looking at probably being a top 20, top 18 team. I think a lot of it this year has had to do more with basketball reasons than non-basketball reasons last year. And that, to me, is enough evidence to go to Steph and say, I know you're a loyal dude. I know you want to ride out in the sunset with your guys. But what's optimal for you is no longer optimal for the rest of the veterans.
I think Steph's smart enough to know that, you know, what re-signing Klay Thompson for 2 or 3 years – he may be able to say, you know, I realize that's – he would probably know that's not the fastest way to get him back to championship contender level or be on a team like that. You know, they might have to lose Klay to do something dramatic that gives Steph a better chance.
Well, it's Klay and it's Wiggins and it's Chris Paul and it's maybe Kevon Looney. Like, it's more than just one piece. It's got to be a whole bunch, right?
Depending on the player you could get in here. I mean, I was thinking about LeBron, and you're allowed to think about LeBron because Lakeham made the call. So the one thing I would, if you're going to go 100% in and try to mortgage everything for another year, then I would try to do – and it may not be possible. The move might not be out there, but it would be to get LeBron and somehow hold on to Kuminga. And even if at that point you're like, well, the rest of the team's gonna, you know what? We'll figure that out. You know, we'll fill in the next six guys, even though that's pretty drastic. But that's how else can they get back right away?
And also remain
relevant. And
that's
no guarantee either, what I just threw out there.
I mean, the Lakers are the 9 seed, so it's like, you know, you're trying to combine forces with the two teams that are probably going to be kicking each other out of the elimination. It's interesting because we were talking about Draymond and his importance. That, to me, is something where, you know, if the stars align, like LeBron has an opt-out this year. I mean, they wouldn't have to necessarily trade for LeBron. If someone like Draymond could broker or barter a potential deal and say, hey, LB – you know, if we can get this thing, we can keep Kuminga, we can keep – because the one thing, LeBron's not stupid. He needs particular pieces around him. That's why I think he has so much power in organizations and forced his hand, for example, last year at the deadline, like get these dudes out and bring a bunch of guys in who I can win with. So if there's – I think whatever the best situation in terms of the roster, like if the Lakers have a better roster, I don't think LeBron's going anywhere.
Right.
But if somehow the Warriors could prove to him that they could improve the roster – and then with him coming in, you free up cap space that probably includes Chris and Klay both leaving. Then you might be able to thread that needle.
I mean, to me, it has to be something like LeBron coming here for whatever exception they would have. Or
like,
I mean, he's not taking a major pay cut, though.
I can't imagine.
No.
I can't imagine he would do something like that.
Now, maybe you take a page from LeBron's book in how he's managed teams before, and you just trade off all your pieces that aren't working for you anymore, and you get a couple of quality pieces.
LeBron's already gotten Wiggins traded once, by the way.
It's true.
Oh, that's true.
Back in Wiggins' draft, he wanted Kevin Love instead of a rookie.
That is true.
It did help him get a championship, so maybe it did work out. But maybe the Warriors go to the LeBron James school of general managing, and they just say, all right, Clay, see ya. All right, Andrew, see ya. All right, Kevon, see ya. Bring us a J.R. Smith type, a Jared Vanderbilt type, and help. I mean, I know Warriors are going to need more than those kind of guys, but that's been LeBron's M.O. Not that it's always worked.
Yeah.
But those are the options that the Warriors have. It's either embrace the future and maybe forget about this year, next year, potentially, or it is go all in and deal with the consequences 5 years from now.
Yeah, and they also have a couple players who, it's not like they're paid a ton, but they got to make a decision. Gary Payton II, I'm pretty sure, has a player option next year for $9 million.
Yeah, he's going to be opting in.
You would think he's going to opt in.
Looney has a partially guaranteed
Looney
deal.
You're going to have to pay $3 million to not be on the team.
Yep.
If that's the way you want to go with Looney, and even now, a player like Moody, who's might just be the 10th or 11th man, I think he's making $6 million next year,
yeah.
Something like that. So in theory, they could try to move off all those guys just to save a combined amount of money that is more significant to them than, let's say, the fans.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that would hurt them because I think they do have too many players the same kind of level of players. So they may as well make a decision on a few of them where there's probably some overlap.
Well, and Kerr's already shown, too, like, you know, at this point of the season, you probably got to get yourself down to 8 or 9 guys anyways. I think a big reason is throughout the year you didn't know who was 2 through 12. And,
I mean,
you got to give some clarity.
You know, it's funny when you said, you know, Kerr's going to have to get down to 8 or 9 guys. My first thought was they can't win with 8 or 9 guys anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think. And that's why I'm starting to think less and less it's even possible for them to go deep into a series, because those games start coming every other day, and those are the days that you're going to need Steph to play 35 or 36 and Draymond to play 34 and Clay to bump up to 32, and that's where Wiggins has to be good enough to play 32 or 34. And Kuminga then obviously is that. But I don't know that they can win that way, because there's a lot of – the playoffs take a toll.
Well, that's what Evan was talking about earlier. I mean, Steph in the fourth quarter last night, I mean, he was just forced to launch over and over and over and maybe a little bit fatigued. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton blocked his threes a couple of times. He's being asked to carry such a heavy load that you're right. Even in the playoffs where you're guaranteed not to have back-to-backs, rotation shrinks. Is Steph still able to carry that heavy of a load every single game? I mean, he just had 3 games off, and we were talking about how maybe that's going to ultimately be a positive because it keeps him fresh. But, I mean, maybe he's dealing with the reality of a 36-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at numbers this morning, and so he's now
– Yeah, boy.
He's been in a – I'll just use Bob Myers' word. He's been in a little malaise for 12 games.
Yeah.
So they've got 14 left. He's going to be really – he's going to me, he should start to become the story, because he's going to need to play better for them to have any chance. And he's had a history of doing it at this time.
Yeah, it's not,
he
necessarily,
just has.
Not necessarily fair to him, but
it is not fair. It is not fair to him at all.
No.
But
– just what it is.
You know, we're gonna get a look-see at Steph in the next 14 games heading into the playoffs. And if he doesn't get more help, you know, there are going to be more games that look like last night.
He is still shooting it at a high clip, obviously, but he's never shot more threes in relation to how many total field goals he takes. I mean, last night he shot 18 threes, 7 of which in the fourth quarter, and a lot of them it just felt like is because either he was too tired to get around his man. I thought Grandy brought up a great sequence of Clay complaining about a non-call, Nembhard beating Curry up the court. And it wasn't like he wasn't trying. He just Nembhard's 24. Like, right. He just couldn't catch him.
Right.
So I think there's more and more of those games that open your eyes a little bit to where the Warriors are at in relation to Curry. He's still great, but can he still shoulder the load for an 82-game season and then for 20 games in the playoffs? I think that's a little unrealistic. But we do have to step aside. Steiny, appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks for having me. I just never like to intrude.
Oh, you're always welcome. You want to do the whole next hour, too?
No, I want to check out more live working vignettes.
There you
yes,
go.
Sir. You are a live working vignette.
That's a four.
That's
all right, thanks, Tiny.
Thank you, guys.
Here
man.
Live at Freedman's Appliance. We'll be here for another hour. I think we got a mystery guest coming up on the other side. If you want to come on by, say what's up, please do. There's food. There's an opportunity to grab at the once-yearly Red Tag clearance sale. All the deals here for your kitchen, for your home in general. Get by to Freedman's Appliance here in Pleasant Hill. We'll be back after this. Mark Grandy, Evan Giddings taking your calls at 888-957-9570 and digging deeper into the Warriors as we move along to our final hour right here on 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.